It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence.
And we're getting ready for the Air and Water Show weekend. We can see some of the action right outside our Skyline Studios here.
The Allstate Skyline Studios.
Allstate Skyline Studios.
Yeah, how about that? As a matter of fact, the United States Air Force Thunderbirds are flying by.
You pointed them out. I'm like, wow, there they are.
Yes, in formation. And today is a day that they kind of fly around and they establish the four corners of their show box, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So they where they can go. And that's their show box is a little different than, say, Sean Tucker, who flies the Oracle plane, which is a ton of fun. It's a it's a single-engine prop plane, highly dynamic, highly mobile, incredibly fun to watch, because he can literally he can make that aircraft stand still.
What?
In air.
It just stops.
It just stops. Well, it appears to stop. He climbs up and he has that engine rolling, so it's straight up and down.
Uh-huh.
But it's just there. And sometimes he can move laterally in it. I mean, it's one of the most amazing things you'll ever see. That's kind of a small box because he stays right in front of between Chicago Avenue and Fullerton. But the center line of the show is at North Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Thunderbirds, like the Blue Angels, like the Navy, the Thunderbirds use a great deal of the city as their box. They're flying all over neighborhoods through them.
Is that's just to practice, or is that
no? That's for the show too.
Yeah, because I've always been on the lakefront for the show.
Right. Huh. If you went to an airport to go see it, like the Blue Angels played at the Air Venture up in Oshkosh, they came out. You can see them because you're standing there near a field, and you can see them at all places.
Man,
when you're at the Chicago show, which makes it really unique, that you can only see them when they're in front of you, because when you turn around, the buildings are in the way, right?
You're blocked.
They are everywhere in the city. They're moving all the way around. Their box is a couple square miles, and it's really fun if you're on the northwest side or the southwest side, and you see these guys zooming over you, and you're like, what are they doing here? Or they reassemble together, where there's four of them, and then the other two come and meet them.
Oh, I love that.
That happens, right over you on the west side.
Do those guys that do all the aerial maneuvers take something, or are they just special individuals that they don't ever
get drugs?
Crazy throw
you
up?
Take
and, you know, I mean, how do you handle
incredible
that?
Incredible shape. They're athletes that to be able to do what they do, to pull in for the, since we'll stop at the Thunderbirds here, they're flying the F-16. They're capable, that plane is capable of pulling 9 Gs and keeping the pilot conscious during it.
Gosh.
Because of the technology on board. And what the pilots are wearing, they're wearing a G suit, and when they pull 9 Gs, it's unlike anything a human being could imagine. You're flattened essentially against your seat.
As you're talking, the Thunderbirds are right behind you. It's like the backdrop.
I know. I finally heard them. I think.
Can you hear them?
I heard them. Yeah.
That's you look up and then you miss the sight of them sometimes when you hear them.
Just saw them.
You saw them?
Yeah. This is awesome. Yeah. Yo, that studio, on like a Wednesday night, you have a perfect view for the Navy Pier fireworks shows or over the weekend, and now we have this perfect venue for the Air and Water Show.
We should charge a little admission.
Yeah, we
should. Make some dough on the side.
Hello, ladies. You want to come up watching fireworks? I can see what Kev's doing. Kev's working that. How Kev knows that? Yeah, baseball's on. Like, don't worry about it. Nobody will be there.
We'll be able to sneak in.
Yeah.
Me and the friends.
It's all good.
Yeah. Watch the fireworks alone.
Yeah. Maybe the you could
18th floor.
Oh, God.
Bring a blanket.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's what that is. I was looking at the floor. I couldn't figure it out. Did I spill my coffee?
I was wondering why there's a mini fridge in here that's stocked with beer all of a sudden. It seemed like maybe that was something strange.
You can have whatever you want as long as it's Miller Lite.
It's the champagne and beer, right?
That's right. It's Miller time.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we got it all figured out. Anyway, Sean Tucker's going to join us.
Nice.
From Team Oracle a little bit later on.
Awesome.
And I know that some of the Thunderbirds were on last night with Andrea.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great. There's an amazing, it is to my, in my life, it is, growing up down here, it was the best thing. It's the thing I always look forward to.
Oh, yeah.
Because it shows off the city.
Building shaking. That's awesome.
I know. It feels like a thunderstorm right now.
It just flew right over us.
Yep.
Yeah, awesome.
It is. It should be pretty nice weather for it, too. It'll be a great weekend. I just love watching the Air and Water Show every year.
All right, coming up, Ben Bradley is going to join us from the WGN-TV and CLTV newsroom. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour on the WGN Radio News?
A prominent North Shore attorney apparently killed by a family member.
Violetta?
This week on Chicago's Best, chicken and donuts? Cruise around with the CB team. See where you can get the salty, sweet treat. Chicago's Best Road Trips this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
All right. Violetta first before we get to Ben.
Yes, we have all lanes blocked right now, Ro, on the inbound Dan Ryan right near 51st Street. All lanes blocked. Police and fire are on the scene. Expect some very heavy delays to start building.
Is that on the all lanes blocked on both? On the
inbound, inbound local lanes.
Local lanes, okay.
Yes, yes.
That's the important distinction there.
I thought I said it.
Yes, all right. There we go. Thank you. Let us now check in with Ben Bradley. He himself is an important distinction.
Well, it's interesting because you can see the planes. I can just hear them buzzing over WGN on the northwest side.
See, that's what I'm saying. See, they're setting up so that there you are a couple miles off the lakefront and a couple miles north of Showline Center, and they fly right over. And it's super cool because they go low.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking. And one of the things I have been told by pilots over the years who fly this show is there's a lot more naked sunbathing in this town than people know.
A lot to see up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
pretty
so,
cool.
So if they start circling a particular building, yeah. we'll know that that is now show center, so to speak.
It's one of the stories these guys tell about their experience in Chicago, why Chicago is their favorite air show to play all year.
Mm.
San Francisco and Chicago and New York. New York's pretty cool. But San Francisco is spectacular. Because you fly, it's the same sort of idea. It's right. It's near the Golden. It's in Golden Gate Park, and they actually fly underneath the Golden Gate Bridge.
Wow,
it's a spectacular
Man.
Thing.
I flew with the Thunderbirds about 10 years ago, and that's exactly what the pilot was saying. He said, "You know, we do a lot of air shows all over the country, around the world sometimes." And he said, "Very few live, you know, are like Chicago because of the skyline, because of the lake, because of the water, because you have that several mile long area." Along the beaches where people can just line up and watch.
Right.
Yeah, it's spectacular.
So the show is different here than you would see in other places, in some respects. Not in all, but in some respects.
Did you manage to get through that okay, the whole experience?
You know, it was funny. I did get through it only because I didn't eat for 36 hours before.
Well, they tell you not to do it, right? I mean, that's the diet for the first 36 hours beforehand is turkey sandwiches
and
water.
Yeah, it was when I was at Channel 7 and our promotions people in the creative services department that put together the air show special took me aside the day before and showed me the unaired cockpit cam video from a previous Channel 7 team member who had gone up and let's just say he had shown a little swagger to the pilot.
Uh-huh.
You know, might have said, "Hey, no, I fly. I've got my Cessna operating license and blah, blah, blah. I can do this. I can do this." And they take that as a little bit of a challenge.
That's not how I did it. Yeah. I got there, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to die. Yeah. All right, so.
That's better.
Right.
But then you still did you get queasy with the whole thing?
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
Yeah, but you have to,
I think,
right?
I flew out of Gary at like 9 in the morning after the 5 o'clock news that night, which we'd done a preview. After the 6 o'clock news, Ron Majors and Mark Giangreco say, "Boy, you're still yellow. You look terrible. Come with us." And they walked me 3 blocks down to the hot dog stand, bought me like 3 hot dogs, and said, "Eat this. You'll feel much better."
How did that go? Did that
cure
did that
all
return?
Let's just say it did not help. No.
Yeah, no.
I think they were.
I was dizzy for 2 days after.
Yeah. Where were you?
Yeah.
Did our friend Lourdes tell you that she's jumping with the Golden Knights on Sunday?
How about that?
Yeah, our own Violetta did that. I did that. That's fun. That's so easy compared to flying with one of those teams. Because you fly with one of those teams, you're never the same. Your world is never the same. You literally have done something so few humans have ever done in terms of the stress on your body.
Yeah,
that's true.
That it's like you get why it is you're not in the Air Force and you're not in the Navy and you're not doing that sort of
and
thing.
And how hard it is
right.
to have that job.
What I hear you saying, Ro, is that you and I are just, we endured so much more than Lourdes and Violetta.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But what I'm also saying is when I was done with it, and I love everything about this, and I love to fly, and I love to be, you know, a part of all these things, but I can, I honestly can say I would not do that again. It's the only thing I would not do again.
Nope,
I did
really.
It. Checked it off my box.
Now,
it just was something.
Let me ask Violetta. There's a kind of a lore, a little urban lore going around that when you jump with these guys, because of course you're strapped, essentially you're strapped in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that
you jump tandem.
Some of these guys on the way down have a habit of asking out, you know, the young TV and radio reporters that they may be jumping with.
What?
You know.
Can you confirm or deny,
Violetta? No. The thing is, I honestly, no. They were very professional and nice. I don't know if it was me that was the problem.
Or... Violetta's waiting. Anything you want to ask me?
So 3,000 feet. Tonight?
Yeah. 2,000 feet.
I'm
hello?
Not busy. He just keeps telling me to remember how to land. You know, he made me do the drills on landing on the beach like three times. I'm like, can I just enjoy the view for a second? I'm tandem.
Violetta's the only person
anything.
I know who would tell the guy, shut up, okay? I know you've given me one of the best experiences in the world, but just be quiet.
Well, at one point, he gave me the handles to hold the parachute because he had to fix and strap in something. He's like, hey, hold on to this. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm holding it. I'm like, what am I holding right now? And he's like, oh, the parachute. I'm like,
Well, if you had let go, it would not have flown away. I just want to point that out.
Well,
he's not putting his life in your hands.
I was directing it for a second.
That's kind of fun. Yeah. I would have been. The guy that I jumped with didn't ask me out.
Huh.
Oh, it must be us.
Right. He was half my size, too, which was really amazing.
And that works okay? They don't need somebody your size?
Somehow it worked.
Yeah, you're in front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow it worked.
You don't have to do much work, right? You just sort
nothing. Just scream.
Chill.
Just scream.
And no mouth open.
And no, do not open your mouth when you get out of the airplane, right, Violetta?
No.
That's the one thing you learn. First time ever.
Close mouth screaming.
Yes.
I jumped with a private skydiving company like 15 years ago for the worst reason ever. It was because a girl I worked with, you know, was very into skydiving, and I was kind of into her. And so she invited me. I'm like, oh, yeah, this will be a great way for us to get to know each other better. You know, what could go wrong? And so we go up, and we're in the air. And first of all, you know, it was a tandem jump, but they didn't strap me to her. They strapped me to some dude. And I'm like, whoa, 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 this is not how I thought this would go. And then I started getting scared. And then as we jump out of the plane, all I remember is, you know, everything going into slow motion and me thinking, Ben, this is the stupidest thing you could ever do to get a date with a girl.
Did you get the date?
Turns out he's done 10 stupider things since. But,
yeah.
But it is. But that one moment, that shining moment,
yes.
It's just like the right stuff. For that one moment, Ben was the stupidest guy on earth.
And for the next 180 seconds, I so humiliated myself screaming like a four-year-old. That I could, you know, that I couldn't date the girl. Obviously, she had no interest
feel
after
it, though.
The jump.
Once you're out of the plane,
you feel like you're still.
You feel like there's air rushing up at you, which there is.
Yeah,
and the ground starts to rush up at you at some point as well. But you're like, it's that feeling of the
everything
parachute
stopped.
Working
mm-hmm.
is the best feeling
yeah.
in the world.
Yeah.
And then
that
you
first
have like
jolt
you,
back up. You're like, oh, it did open.
Yeah,
and you have this 2 minutes of. I better enjoy this and look around because I am never doing this again.
If I survive this, right. That's,
well, that's
about
what
it.
I was trying to tell the guy when he was giving me the instructions. I'm like, come
hey,
on.
Hey, quiet. I'm enjoying myself up
I'm
here.
I'm trying to open up my Insta.
And then she wonders why it is the guy didn't ask her out. Okay. He was,
bossy.
He's probably thinking about
he was bossy.
Detaching her. All right.
Then she drops her phone as she tries to do the Insta story, and it hits some poor unsuspecting tourist on the ground below.
She nailed the landing, though. Violetta, I mean, it was very impressive.
Too good. Like, I looked ridiculous because I was very, because he told me like three times to practice in the air. So I was like, okay, legs straight up, hands underneath your thighs, I'm ready.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. Mine was not pretty.
When you edited that video, you took out the landing part?
And part of the... Well, the Army edits the video, and then they hand it over, uneditable to your to whatever your media organization is. So that lives on forever somewhere.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. And I did not... And for the record, I did not throw up with the Thunderbirds. And I also was privy to the exact same story that Ben was by the guy who was, I must have done it the year after you because it was 2 years prior. Yes. Uh-huh. And they said, hey, this guy, he was something. and they will make you, they can make you sick if you want it.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, they can go easy on you or they can make your life hell.
Yeah, and it was, So, at my crying, though, just on takeoff, I was crying. And I think that kept it, that kept it. They were like, I can't wait to get back on the ground with this guy.
Let's get him down.
All right. Let's find out what's coming up in the news.
Well, Tom Negevin, Audi in West Chicago, covering this story. Remember, a body was found on fire in a farm field. We're now learning about charges against some teenagers in that case. Tom Negevin reporting on that. Julian Cruz has an update on the lawyer who was killed up in Northfield, the suspect in bond court. Interesting relationship between those two. And, of course, we're covering the death of Aretha Franklin. Mm-hmm. And Lauren Majera.
A lot of Chicago connection to that, actually.
Yes. Yeah. And Lauren Majera had an interesting opportunity. She did the FBI fitness test today. Speaking of things Ro and I could not do.
I couldn't do
I like
that.
The since the president is such a tough guy, I'd like him to try it, too.
How about the one the kids do in elementary school to get the, presidential physical fitness award?
Me, Ben, and the president, the three guys who can't actually do that anymore either. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, we'll see you tonight at 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, 12, and 24. Let us check in with Judy. She's got the WGN News coming to Wayne, too. Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Oh, man.
Mm.
It's quite a day here. A little bit later on, we're going to talk to the guy who was the curator of the Museum of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame about the life and legacy of Aretha Franklin. Howard Kramer, who's been on this show. He was our rock and roll editor. And we talked to him a little bit earlier. We put together an interview and a tribute to Aretha that we're going to play for you, which is really something. It's her place in history. It's funny because I was thinking mostly about Kevin and Violetta today when I was, about the kids. And I think as a lot of adults do, they think about their kids and you think about how important a musical artist was to you as a child or how important they are in American history. And then your kids are like, who?
Well, you're right. I was singing along as they were playing the tributes to her, and my daughter, of course, has no idea. But she touched generations just in different ways, and it's just such a powerful figure.
But her songs are so powerful, where I think we know those too, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I think we know a lot of them.
You've been to weddings, right, Kevin?
No, of course you know Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes you hear a song, you can recognize the song. And you're like, oh, that was an Aretha Franklin song? I didn't even realize it, but there's so many of them. I'm just looking through the list today, and some of the songs just hit after hit.
Yeah, it's hard to listen to her songs without feeling it, right? It just brought out that.
There's an important part of her life's history that a lot of the songs are about female empowerment. And she was one of the first people singing about it. And a black woman singing about female empowerment
in the 60s?
In the 60s was quite a controversial thing. And so there's a reason that she did, and it has to do with her dad and this other stuff. It was really interesting.
Fascinating.
So Jeff will tell that story, and that's coming up later on at 5:40 this afternoon on the program. All right, Jeff Earle is joining us from U.S. Deputy Political Editor of Mail Online. And there's a lot. Jeff, the president is having a bit of a... he's kind of a bit of a moment right now. He's a little upset with some things. And yesterday he was upset with all the people who he now wants to blame for the dossier and this rigged fake investigation into him. And one of them was John Brennan. And he pulled John Brennan's security clearance when John Brennan was the head of the CIA. And now the other people who are in the targeting list of the president who are around him, whether it's Michael Hayden or people from the Justice Department that he's unhappy with, they've kind of coalesced. And a lot of other people in the intelligence community have coalesced and said, you're doing this purely for political reasons, and that has never been done before.
And this is a week that's featured. It's just featured that tension of, Omarosa, Omarosa, Omarosa with her tapes and her interviews, and then interspersed with these controversies that either Trump has a hand in or that just come his way. And, the morning started out with Brennan hitting back with a very hard-hitting editorial where, again, he's talking about how he's basically accusing Trump of collusion already, and Trump is definitely steaming about it.
Right, and then there were these other newspapers, was it 300 newspapers around the country, including newspapers in small towns dotting what would be considered to be Trump country, that have all written about his assault on the press and how that's not right.
And I think those have a much bigger impact on him and, of course, potentially on voters than, you know, than the Boston Globe, which engineered this, and the New York Times. And I couldn't help but notice my alma mater, the New York Post, also said that they stood with the other papers, although they did it in a cheekier way. They also said the press is not the enemy of the people.
Which is interesting because the New York Post has been, and that's where we first met you when you were at the Post, the New York Post has been a bit of a cheerleader at times for the president, right? I mean, that's mm-hmm. fair to say. Unlike the New York Daily News, which has kind of gone the exact opposite way, which is had some of the really more creative headlines of this era, I would like to point out. But the New York Post has, by jumping in, and as you point out, they did it in a little softer way than, and the New York Post is known for this. They tend to be a little more, as you said, cheeky, and so they're kind of winking at it, but they're also saying, hey, this is serious stuff, because if the president wants to just call everybody who reports on him on reports that are verifiable, but maybe he doesn't like, if he says that those are all lies, that and people start to believe him, then that's dangerous.
And I think that's the significance of just the massive number. If it's the Times or the liberal media, Trump in his own mind can write it off as, well, those guys aren't supporting him anyway. But if it's all over the country, and if it's a paper that he physically reads and gets every morning, which I understand that he does, that's going to make more of an impact on him.
Jeff, I'm interested in your personal observations, because we keep hearing about this sort of war on the press and, you know, this attack on the press, that people who do cover politics for a living are feeling tensions or more when they go to rallies or they cover something involving not just the president, but I suppose anything you might cover in the political world right now.
It definitely can get hot inside those rallies when Trump, when he calls out the media. I mean, sometimes it's partly as a laugh line, but then people in the crowd will also boo and they will point. And for people at certain outlets, such as Jim Acosta, like correspondent for CNN, I mean, he's had some moments where large crowds of people are giving him obscene gestures and yelling at him during his live shots. It gets pretty hairy in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you make of these last couple of days with Omarosa? Omarosa released another tape this afternoon.
Oh, boy.
Of her conversation with Lara Trump, where Lara Trump, the daughter-in-law of the president, is Eric's wife, is trying to convince her to come over to the campaign for $15,000 a month pay that would keep her basically silent, because she's already signed for the campaign a non-disclosure agreement that does not cover her work in the White House, which is, and I think all these are probably unenforceable, and she's releasing these tapes anyway, so we'll just have to see what happens there. But you know, it's more of an indication that she's got tapes, she's got more tapes to come, and that must have people panicked. Is that one of the reasons we're seeing the president, do you think, or is your reporting indicating that there is stress on the president? That's why we're seeing him lash out in so many different directions right now?
Yes, I mean, we have to engage in a little psychobiography here, but he does, it does explain the lashing out and the behavior, and we can't forget that this Manafort trial is going on at the same time. So this is all, you know, gelling in his mind. And I think you're right on Omarosa. I mean, she didn't drop like a bombshell today. This basically confirms what she already wrote in her book. But the real signal is, look, here's another example where the quotes I put in are backed up by a tape. So that means if there's other quotes in there, I can back that up as well. And I'm not sure it's a smoking gun talking to Lara Trump about a potential job offer, but it does sound like a pretty sweet job where she could show up wherever she wants and maybe give a speech and live wherever she wants and make $180,000. You know,
right.
Okay.
Seemed very fluid in terms of what the responsibilities were attached to this job that was $180,000. But I mean, I think the beginning part of that was the part that stood out to me, where Lara Trump asked Omarosa, well, you know, things kind of have to remain positive, you know, and I read something in the New York Times that you said about life afterwards, and then the job offer came. It was seemingly linked to this you know, let's come back to our side here. Is that a typical thing you see in politics? Is this something that, or do you see more there?
Well, we don't have the whole tape, and of course, Laura Trump is complaining in her own response that we don't know how it's edited. But that is a very that's the kind of thing Trump would write about in The Art of the Deal: how to handle some, how to deliver a message of compliance, but do it in a way it wasn't done with a hammer, right? It was done, like you say, kind of subtly, like, gee, there's some things I saw on the paper. We can't have any of that. So, yeah, from the words I've read, that is a message she's putting out there. But, of course, maybe according to Laura Trump, she didn't know the reason Omarosa had been fired, and they had hung out together, so maybe she had reason to expect she'd still want to be part of the team.
Yeah, no, it's going to be...
She's not part of the team now.
It's going to be very interesting after the Manafort.
She's out.
Today's Thursday. The jury has the case right now. If the jury comes back tonight, look out. It's not going to be good news for Paul Manafort.
A lot of counts, right? It's
right.
Lots to get through.
I'm in the Friday camp. I don't know where you guys are.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the Friday camp, but I think that's also not good for Paul Manafort.
I say next week. Doesn't this seem the complexity of these... I haven't seen the documents or the evidence given to the jury, but it just seems like there's mountains of it.
It is, and 18 counts. It's a lot for them to digest, and you got to vote on each count. And
So just the management of it. But if the jury comes back tomorrow before the weekend, it's not good for Paul Manafort. If they come back Monday, it's 50-50. If it moves past Monday, it's I think that we can read that tea leaf as being positive
for
Paul Manafort.
Bodes well for him.
Yes.
But even the most serious of the charges alone carries something like 30 years. So even if they shave off quite a few of these counts, he could see maybe the rest of his life in prison.
But what's interesting is the president here, and I think to Jeff's point, some of the pressure that's here is that it isn't so much what Paul Manafort is going to say or do. The question is, how quickly can the president have to have this argument with himself about whether he pardons him? Because if he pardons him quickly, there's going to be a political fallout for that, one would imagine.
And with what's been learned about Manafort over the course of the trial, just the thing that can be documented with his own emails, it's not a pretty picture. So it's not going to be it won't be a zero-cost pardon if Trump decides he wants to go that route by any stretch.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Jeff Earle.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Daily Mail. Appreciate it, man. All right. Yeah, we live in interesting times.
Boy,
it's funny. We met Jeff in Iowa, in Des Moines, mm-hmm. Iowa, during the Iowa caucus. Mm-hmm. And little did we know, as we're sitting there having a cocktail at night after our shift. I want to point this out. It was after. They'll never forget this moment. It's going to be the first paragraph of my book. And we're at the Hyatt in Des Moines. And it's sort of just big round bar, and it's me and Jeff, our producer, and should I mention everybody who's in the room?
No,
probably not.
No, I wouldn't.
but other people,
I wouldn't.
Other people who should have been in the room, Pat Brady, and Pat Brady introduces us to a guy, a tall guy with beautiful hair and kind of a good, looks like a Brooks Brothers model,
blow dried,
right? Mm-hmm. And he's we're sitting there talking to him, mm-hmm. and he goes, "Oh, you're working for Trump now?" And he goes, "Yeah, well, my firm and all that." That man was Don McGahn, who is now the White House counsel.
Who knew?
Right.
Couldn't have predicted it then.
Yeah, exactly. And we're like, yeah.
His name's come up a time or two.
A few times. And then Jeff was there, and a bunch of other people were there. Our Jeff, and then Jeff Earle.
Mm-hmm.
Or we call him G-Off just for disambiguation purposes.
Yeah, he didn't like it, but it worked out better for all of us.
And it all kind of took off from there. This whole little... And we've all stood here and watched this whole thing happen.
Boy,
roll through it.
Unfold.
2.5 years later, almost 3 years later. All right, let's talk about what's happening at the top of the hour news with Judy Pilak.
Drug overdoses up in Illinois, and the president wants to sue pharmaceutical companies.
Okay. That's a small story today. Violetta's got the WGN traffic being brought to you by ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. From Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling is joining us, being brought to us by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And Tom, let me just start with this. Hold on. Mm-hmm. I should remind people that on August 18th, mm-hmm. which would be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right? My gosh. Is it August 18th already?
Yes.
That sounds
that would be
like
Saturday.
A long time from now.
That's the Thomas Jefferson at the Mac. It's thank you, Thomas Jefferson. We needed that. This is John Williams has done this for a number of years, mm-hmm. where he sits down with Thomas Jefferson. Now, Thomas Jefferson is, I was told, dead, but apparently not.
No, brought back to life on the stage.
Boy, will wonders never cease, huh?
He lives on, it's actually Saturday, August 18th.
That's right. That's what Violetta was right. It's yeah. 2 days from now.
Yes.
You know, he kept detailed weather records. Did you know that?
Thomas Jefferson.
At the Monticello, yes. Yes.
Huh. What instruments did he use, or how did he...
I don't know. The array was, but I know he was quite interested, and he kept a log of weather readings. So did Ben Franklin and a lot of other
people.
Look
what happened with Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at that.
He flew the key with the kite. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done that.
No. Me neither.
No. Well, first of all, there's a lot of standing around with a kite, which I never liked. Anyway,
you know what else he did? He discovered weather moved from west to east, and he did that through correspondence with his friends. He'd find that he would have a storm where he was, and that somebody had corresponded with him and made mention of the fact they had been hit by a storm, and he figured out that the weather was moving basically from west to east.
Oh, along in the continental United States.
The continental United States, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes. I'm sorry, Ro, I've interrupted what you were starting to say.
That was interesting.
That is
sidebar,
interesting,
though.
Because that's not, that, it's not like that everywhere.
Yeah.
But this is a lot like
not.
The show, How It Goes, where they just talk about things and he brings up stuff from his time.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know.
So this is what it is. Yeah. So you can buy tickets online at WGNradio.com/events or the Mac box office, 630-942-4000. And
it's a great concept. That sounds like an interesting program. Yes. Leave it to John to...
Well, you think about it, he was ahead of his time with this Hamilton thing just being a global success, and
that's
he's
true,
been doing
yeah.
it for a while.
Yeah,
right. Except there's no singing, I don't think.
Yeah. No, but he's making history great.
What time is the show? Do we know what time the show is? It's not on.
There's two shows. There's one at 10 and one at 1.
Oh, there we go. 10 in the morning.
10 a.m., yes.
Right, and then one at 1 in the afternoon.
Exactly. Really?
And we helped John pick out his suit. It's an amazing, cool suit that he's going to wear. There was a lot
is that
of, there was voting going on.
Is this a suit from the era?
No, it's not a period sort of
I voted
suit.
Plaid.
Yeah, I did too, but we lost, by the way. Blue was the suit that won. Thought it was a little plain.
I was team plaid.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. Me too. But apparently in the social media universe, we were outvoted. But still, it's a good show. No
is that
matter
an
what
official announcement yet, or did we just blow it for him?
No.
I think he announced it. Yeah,
but
he's
now,
pretty clear. He had to let me down.
Now that he's wearing blue.
I know, I wouldn't bother either. Didn't take our advice.
I'm out.
I think everybody else should go, though. I think you're there to see Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah, that's true.
You can see John anywhere. So very rarely do you get to see Thomas Jefferson since he's been dead for almost 200 years.
That's right.
He had a good run.
Yeah, he did. That's right.
He did have a very good run. And apparently, he was quite the swordsman, as you know, my dad used to say.
That code?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
What? So mm-hmm. Did he have a lot of kids? Or?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had all kinds of kids. Oh, kind of kids. Oh. And he was living in Paris, too. I mean, he had a lot going on there.
He did. He had another life over there.
Yeah. And he had, and then there were some, you know, there were a few chambermaids along the way there, too. Just, you know, you never know.
He certainly makes current day politicians seem like they're in good company.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. But you know what? I mean, they were, the thing is, there was no TMZ back then.
No,
yeah,
but they still covered these guys. Yeah. I mean, there was still coverage of them. I mean, you could use some of the salacious stuff got out and on purpose, just like it does today from your political, you know, the opposition parties.
Don't you wonder if we had social media back in that time? I love that commercial where they're at Independence Hall, and the phone rings announcing they've concluded the Louisiana purchase, you know?
I love that, too.
Right. That must be the same agency that does Geico, because it's like that same kind of feel.
I know.
Or sort of like, oh, yes. Because the guy's app clears with the purchase.
Right.
Yes. Oh, I see that the Louisiana purchase has just cleared. It just left my account.
Hey, and when you hear that, do you look suddenly at your own phone thinking, oh, it just went off, because it sounds like it's your own phone going off?
Yeah.
It does.
But I think we mentioned this already on the show, but my favorite current commercial is Thomas Jefferson, or I'm sorry, is Alexander Graham Bell in the movie theater with his phone going off.
Yeah. and they interrupt the play and all
that. Oi, oi! Oh, you must have wanted two. I'm one.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's this is really something. So, Aaron Water Show, they were practicing here.
Yes.
And it's, you have pointed out, there's, you know, there's going to be, you know, a little bit of weather in the next day or so, but beautiful for the weekend,
it
right?
It does. It looks terrific. You know, today was a surprise how much sun we got. We have some pretty good storms popping to the west, and the air blows out the top of these things, and it sinks on the periphery, sometimes some distance from these storms. So I think that's what broke the overcast up here. We thought we'd be cloudier, but this gave them a chance to you know, go through the full run without having to worry about a low overcast. Mm-hmm. And the weekend looks fantastic.
Great.
We have a kids program here tomorrow for the morning show. I'm a little worried about that. There's a upper low that's going to go right over us, and it's been associated with some pretty healthy rains and thunderstorms out in northwest Illinois, and even more so Iowa, Minnesota, southwest Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So I would think that the shower and thunderstorm coverage will increase here. I don't think it'll be continuous, but I'm a little worried about the
morning
hours.
What's the kids program?
Wait, no, I'm more worried about the weather right now because Kevin and I are playing golf tomorrow morning at night.
Oh, you guys.
So hold on. We'll get to the kids in just a minute.
Well, let's care about the kids.
How about, we'll get there, but what, are you saying it's going to be rainy at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning?
Yeah, well, there could be some around. Yeah, I was looking at.
Come on, Tom.
I know.
I'll do my dance, but you know, it's proved pretty ineffective more often than not.
I was already envisioning my first tee shot off hole number one, Tom. This is devastating.
New tee box is there too.
One thing: if there's lightning, you guys get off the course. Mm-hmm. All right? Because
thanks for reminding.
That's not what. Yeah. That is not what Jerry Taft
That's
taught
right.
me.
Oh, well, Jerry plays through.
Jerry said, "Get under a tree and hold a one iron up."
No, don't you remember in, what was it, Caddyshack?
Uh-huh.
Where the
yeah, the priest? No,
yeah, the priest.
God, every time
the
it rains, I say that every line from Caddyshack, every golfer says. Yeah. So when it starts to rain, it's like, God wouldn't interrupt the greatest round of my life.
I know.
All right, so what is the kids program?
Oh, it's the morning show, the Kids Fair. And boy, this is quite a production. I came in today. They have tents set up out in front and gates, and there's all kinds of wiring.
It's huge. I used to go to this every year.
They offer free haircuts. It's really quite.
There's live music.
Live music.
You can win a bunch of prizes.
Yes.
And is WGN sponsored? Or is it just... Oh,
yeah.
It's on
this is
lawn.
Something they've done for years, and it raises money for charity, for kids' activities around here.
Okay, all right.
So I'm hoping that the rains hold off.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm
me
a little
for the kids. I'm really worried for the kids. Yeah,
you guys
think
have
about
such
them.
A big heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm
sure the
school.
Golf game doesn't figure.
No, it doesn't
this
figure
at
in
all.
It one yeah. bit yeah, to what we're talking
That's
about.
That's just the kind of people that you folks
aren't
are.
They nice. They're just kind-hearted. Yeah. Think about everybody else all the time.
Yeah,
this is how it goes. This is what I put up with, Tom.
I know. I'll tell you, Anna.
Gosh, if we could just keep that rain away for the kids.
Emanates from that radio studio. That's just amazing.
Just want to make sure it's all good.
Right.
Exactly. Tents at the event, so they'll be fine.
Tents? We don't have tents on the golf course.
No, for the
no
kids.
Tents
but you're
golf
thinking
course.
About the kids, so, remember?
Oh, right, the kids.
So you can worry more about yourself because they have tents.
Yeah.
They got tents.
Tom, do you do the air show?
What do you mean, do I do it?
Do you come down for it? Do you come down?
Well, you know what? I live on up on the north side, right on the lake. I'm in a high-rise building up there.
Perfect.
You can see some of it, a little bit of it.
I see some of it. It's not quite as good as being downtown, but then I don't have to worry about parking, you know?
That's true. That
so
is true.
I'm
take the bus, you know, Tom. The 151 will take you right down there.
That's
just
a good idea.
Just letting you know that. Or the 147 or whatever.
Yeah, it's not 151. It's 147.
The only thing is I look out in my bathrobe, you know? And on the weekends, I sometimes am in my bathrobe, you know, till all hours.
Get on the bus. Listen, how many times have I seen a guy in his bathrobe on the bus?
Yeah. I know. It's a little weird given the fact this takes place in the afternoon and I'm still in my bathrobe.
Oh, yeah. That's true. That might be a little late for that.
He's at a whiskey stone sour. What did we learn yesterday?
Amaretto
stone
those.
Sour. He will have that. I had two of those last night and I'm in my bathrobe
That's
until
it.
6 p.m.
I'm knocked out and out of commission, you know.
Tom,
if you had to work with Bill Snyder, you'd need all the rest you could get on the weekends.
I got to tell you something. You know, this Bill Snyder, he and I have met each other a couple times, and
yes.
we are, we're conspiring against Tom now.
No.
We're on the same,
why would you do that?
We're on the
are
same
you
path.
The tell-all book? Or that he...
No, I know nothing about what goes on there, but I just know that he and I agree on weather, and we agree. And
you
we don't,
like triple-digit
heat. And we're not joyous when you, oh, it's going to snow. It's so exciting. We're not joyous about that like you are.
I know. I keep telling him, I said, you know, you go down to Phoenix with those scorpions and rattlesnakes. He says, well, it beats going up to Alaska and watching a glacier melt.
Yeah, he probably doesn't understand that about you.
I know.
Imagine, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. This is what counts for like... trash talking at the WGN weather office.
Hey, Bill is terrific. And I hope you realize that.
Yes, we do. Yeah,
we have a lot of fun in this office. And Mike Hamernick's here, too. Now, Mike is a barrel of laughs, too. You know, it's just...
you got to have fun while you work.
Do you know that Mike's father played in the Bozo band? He was one of the musicians.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, in the like the 70s version?
Yeah.
Before Crazy Andy or whatever that guy's name was,
yeah.
Professor Andy.
That's true.
Before him.
Professor Andy.
Yeah. There was the band. I remember that band. There was like
me
a 12-piece band or something that they had
played.
It
was a real deal.
It was amazing. It really was. And that was Mike's dad was
What did he play? Which one was he?
Triangle.
Mike, what instrument did your dad play?
He was a drummer.
A drummer.
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 Wow. They were like Earth, Wind, and Fire. They had two drummers.
Yeah.
They had a guy. Well, Bozo banging on the big drum.
That's true.
Right? He had the big one that he would lead the parade
with. Right.
And then they had a drummer. They had a horn section. It was crazy what they had for that band.
So Mike never had trouble getting tickets then if his dad worked there. He's like the luckiest kid in town.
That's a good point. Mike, you didn't have any trouble getting tickets, right? No.
Yeah,
he said I'm telling you that. But Mike has a rich history with this television station.
Yes, he does.
It's really very interesting.
I just, we've talked about this before, and one day we'll do this as a podcast where we'll get some of the former people, those who are still around, who tell the stories of backstage at Bozo.
It just opened my eyes you tell these stories.
Yeah.
It's not the image you have as a kid.
No. I know.
Backstage at Bozo and Chelveston the Duck and all the other things that happened that went wrong with Ray Rayner and Bozo is really something to behold.
You know, when I started here, it was back in 1978. It was interesting. The crowds would line up for Phil Donahue, who was in Studio 2, and they would usher that group in, and then the Bozo group would assemble, and they would be ushered into Studio 3 at noon. So place was really hopping.
Yeah.
Cross-section of the humanity there.
A little two different types of audiences there.
There's
Gloria Steinem, and there's a snot-nosed 8-year-old standing there, too.
It
was like, where's my prize?
I told you the time we were eating lunch. The news department, we'd all get together and eat lunch in the commissary, and the group would start gathering, the families with the little kids, and it would get noisier and noisier, and you found yourself screaming over each other to carry on a bit of a conversation. And finally, a fellow who worked in our traffic department turned around one day, and he says, "Go home!" He says, "Bozo's dead." And, to the crowd, the assembled group there. And we all, our jaws kind of dropped open. Nobody could hear him, though, because it was so noisy. But
one kid that did hear him burst into tears.
I know.
I know.
You can see these little faces.
Never be the same.
Dissolve into tears. That's true. Probably left somebody damaged for life.
That's not right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Tom, thank you very much. We will talk to you tomorrow.
I'm not sure what I've contributed here today. But anyway, guys, it's good to
I feel that
to you.
Way every night at 7.
Do you?
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Well, you needn't feel that way. I do have to. Anyways, talk to you later, guys.
Thanks,
bye,
Tom.
Guys. Bye. Let us say bye to Mike for us, too. Judy, what's coming up in a few minutes at the bottom of the hour?
3 West suburban teens charged in a brutal murder.
Violetta? Tear Show weekend in Chicago.
How can you tell?
Because I feel the rumble.
I know. Feels like thunder downtown.
And on more than one occasion over the last, and at least in my lifetime of being around, this will be probably the 48th show that I will have seen that I can recall.
Hmm. Yeah.
There was once a breaking of the sound barrier here by accident. And when that happens, look out.
The sound is bad now, right?
Yeah, it was not a good moment for some of the buildings in downtown Chicago when that actually happens. No. You really get the sense. And one of the stars, at least for the last couple of decades of this show, is a guy named Sean Tucker. Sean flies a plane. It's in the sky. It looks like a little red plane. It's a biplane. custom-built job that does the most miraculous things you've ever seen. It's brought to you by Oracle. So you see this, you see it. If you go to other shows, you'll sometimes see it on the ground. You go to an airport show, or you go to AirVenture, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see this plane. And more people take their pictures with this plane than any other plane because it's one of the most famous planes in the world that you will never, ever, ever be able to get on. And Sean joins us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And Sean, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
I'm delighted. I moved from Gary. We're staging out of Gary. I moved from Gary back up here to Chicago, and I can see the lake and the north and the Navy Pier, and the weather is delightful. So I'm happy to be here, my friend.
Thank you. We're happy to have you here. You are so much fun to watch when people see your presentation, because what you do with this airplane, I was trying to explain this earlier, you can actually make the plane stop in midair or appear to stop in midair. And it freaks everybody out. And then when you try to explain it to somebody, they go, well, how does he do that? Well, explain how you do that.
Well, here's the key. I've dedicated my entire adult life to this art form called airshow flying. And this flying machine I have, we've developed it and designed it and evolved to this machine where the wings become my arms, and it has big, huge control surfaces like the model airplanes do. It has almost one-to-one power, and I can manipulate the controls and the power so I can almost hover there in midair. it's fun.
And freak everybody out.
What's really fun is always striving for excellence and execution. I'm always pushing my boundaries, and I receive a lot of joy out of that and learning how to fly this machine. I only get to fly her. We're going to get the National Air and Space Museum and the Smithsonian is coming, putting a new exhibit out on the National Mall for general aviation called We Are Flying. My airplane has been invited to fly upside down for 30 years in the National Mall, and what a place to put a machine I just so dearly love. So I'm really careful. I don't want to hurt her. I want to push the boundaries, but I want that girl to be in the National Mall, the National Air and Space Museum.
How many do you have of those?
This is a one of a kind. I have a backup, of course, because you know things happen to airplanes, and you got to make sure you can fulfill on your contract. I've been with Oracle for 19 years, and they've just been great partner to work for. I just feel so privileged that I've been able to make a living at something I love so much, and so I have a backup just in case this one something's wrong with the engine or there's a mishap. But this is the only one in the world that's exactly like. There's no other airplane in the world like it.
So when the Smithsonian gets this, and by the way, if anybody goes to Washington and they go to the museums on the mall, you must stop at the Air and Space Museum because there's two of them in Washington. There's Smithsonian's. There's the one on the mall, and then there's one out near Dulles, the airport there, mm-hmm. the Udvar-Hazy Museum, which is amazing as well, where you see bigger airplanes that are in static display. But the one on the mall is so special, and I cannot imagine, you know, as an aviation nut myself, I cannot imagine how exciting that must be for you to be hanging there in perpetuity. But does that mean that are you going to get a new aircraft, or are you retiring?
Well, actually, this is going to be my last year as a solo performer. I have this dream to finish up my career to lead a team and take everything I've learned over the last 46 years of aerobatic flying and put it together with a team. So, as you well know, my show is very frenetic, very dramatic, and I want to keep that style of flying, but also have the grace and beauty of working with four other airplanes in the sky and have some ballet in the sky. And so I'm going to retire as a solo guy. The Smithsonian is going to let me use it through 2019 to lead the team, but at the end I have to give it to him on the 19th.
Oh.
In 2019, because they need a year to get it ready. And they're spending like $15 million on this new exhibit for general aviation called We All Fly. And what's cool about it, the aviation is inspires people. People are, the third dimension is a magnificent place. And right now the opportunities for these kids to get involved in aviation, from flying drones to airport managing. The future is huge, and 9 million people a year go to this museum. And if we can just light that spark within, and let them know it's possible, my airplane will still be doing its job.
It's going to be an emotional time for you, considering, I mean, this plane,
oh,
is just, you talk about it like it's a child.
It's terrible.
So
it's bittersweet. Here's the deal. Okay, what I do is extreme. What I do is dangerous. And I gotta hold it all together. The pressure when I announced that this is my last solo performance at Chicago, announced that I just want to be righteous. I want to be magnificent. I want to inspire and thrill. But it's like having a monkey on your back, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's very emotional. And I'm trying to keep everything balanced and not do anything different and just fly to the best of my abilities for the right reasons. And if I do that, I create joy in the audience. I get a tremendous reward from, because I'm searching for excellence all the time in my flying. And so it's going to be a big weekend for me, a big weekend and very bittersweet.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Chicago. Because it's such a unique...
We talk a lot about Chicago. I love this place.
Yeah. It's a unique, I guess... palette, if you will. It's a, you know, a canvas is better. It's a unique canvas upon which to do your art, right? Because it's such an amazingly different air show, beautiful air show, because of this wall of glass that is in front of you.
Yeah.
This is truly the largest aviation event, outdoor aviation event in the world. And I'm flying over to get into the arena, to the box, we call it. I see everybody's on top of the buildings, and North Avenue Beach is just, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. And then when I get a police escort back up there so I can meet some of the fans and go to the hospitality chalet, I see the joy on people's faces. And here's the deal. They're there that weekend to celebrate freedoms, you know, and the perfect metaphor is the sky. And it's mom and pop, it's grandma and grandpa, it's you're hanging out with your friends, and you're just taking a pause to have some fun. And I have never had a bad moment here. I feel so honored to be able to fly in Chicago. They only hired the best, and there's no guarantees you're getting in next year. They are very, very reverent to they're trying to put on a show that's dramatic, that intrigues people, that inspires folks, and they want it to be a safe show. So they hire the best. We got to leave our egos on the ground. We don't believe in our press clippings when we go to work. We're here to do a job, and that's to thrill and inspire. And everybody, every performer that comes here feels so honored. Every military team member, they can't wait to get to Chicago. Every year, Chicago gets a jet team because it is the place to be in the United States of America this weekend if you're an aviator.
Yeah, that's true. Or if you're just a fan of it, you want to see it. You get to, you know, for so many years, we've been so lucky to have, you know, every year we've had the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels, if available. I mean, there have been some years where those teams stand down for, you know, whatever reason. But you've had that. We've had the Royal Canadian Air Force here. You've had the Italian Tricolore here. You see things at this air show. You could travel to all the air shows. Air show season goes essentially from March until October. Mm-hmm. You could travel all over the country and see all the major air shows if you want, and you're not going to see anything as complete or exciting or as exhilarating as this.
And especially the energy of the people. I mean, this is pure the best that America offers. These people, these folks that come are there for the right reasons, and they're there to have fun.
Okay, I got
to
ask you a question, though. I got to ask you this because you know, over the years, pilots have told me this, and we've never talked about this. When you're flying in, though, there are some people that are naked on the roofs. Is that correct?
Can you confirm or deny that rumor?
Yes, yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah, sounds like a confirmation.
It's a certifiable fact. It's just because some of the buildings, you know, they don't let people, you know, people who go up and sunbathe in places.
Right,
and they,
you don't think anybody can see you.
All these dudes know it. They all know it. And they know where, guys who've been coming back here for years and years and years and years, like, I can't wait to get back to Chicago, man. Because you fly an airport show, and there's people not lying out in the field naked.
You're like, why are they flying so low? It's so strange. Yeah. Really close to those buildings.
I just like to stay focused. So.
I know. Well, you can't do it during the show because you got it's great. There is another move that you make too. That, and I know we got to run here, but there's another move that Sean Tucker makes that Oracle plane that is just amazing. Where you actually flip the plane forward, it goes nose tail, nose tail, nose tail, and I cannot figure out how you actually don't break something either on yourself or on the plane while you're doing it.
Well, my plane's stronger than I am. I'm pretty broken. I've done thousands and thousands and thousands of these flights, and so my body's pretty well wanting to shut down when it comes to this stuff. But again, these planes are built now to do these magnificent things, and the cool news for us as aviators, it challenges us to be better and expand our personal envelope, so the repertoire of the dance is and the choreography is getting so much more dynamic and dramatic. And I feel like the luckiest guy on earth to be able to be. We call it the ballistic gyroscopic world. Think of those two words.
Oh God! I could throw up just listening.
I know. Yeah. I need some Dramamine.
I just ballistically gyroscopic.
Yes. Yeah,
go
I
look
am.
It up.
Yeah. No. It's okay. I'm all right. How do you get the plane? Because it's a small plane. I mean, are you flying it show to show, or how do you transport it?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to, and it's not very comfortable because the flying machine is designed to be unstable at all times. It's not designed to be comfortable to fly. It's a high-performance machine, but I don't want to. It costs about the same to take it apart and ship it, but I don't want to because it's so finely tuned.
Right.
Every time we take it apart and put it back together, it takes about 3 or 4 days to get it perfect again. And when you're flying in the sky, there's no real bumps in the road. Like, there's no vibrations. There's not that kind of thing where they have to deal with cars and trucks because the air is fluid. It's a dynamic. And so you're really not putting much wear and tear on your flying machine when you're doing it through the sky. So we fly it from place to place.
Oh, man. Well, you have thrilled millions upon millions of people. I'm so glad to hear that your plane, that custom-made Oracle, is going up into Challenger 3, is going up into the Smithsonian. It's a spectacular piece of equipment, and you're a brave and strong man, Sean Tucker. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Sean.
It.
We'll look forward to seeing you.
See you guys. God bless America.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us now check in with Judy Pilak. What's got going on the WGN News at the top of the hour?
A Navy admiral telling Trump to take away his security clearance.
Violetta's got the WGN traffic brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Rocajo with Anna DeBlantes right here on 720 WGN.
Although the Air and Water Show is probably one of my favorite weekends, I would say that this is the time of year when the pets really, this is the weekend they least favor, other than July 4th weekend.
Oh, yeah, it drives them nuts. I wear a Thunder shirt, too.
Yeah, get those out.
Yeah.
Get
when
them
the
out.
Thunderbirds come out?
When they, right, when, well, thank you, I see what you did there. Whenever I hear a jet, I put my Thunder shirt on and I crawl in the hamper.
Well, it's a way to cope, you know, if it works. Poor little pets.
It's funny, you can hear them from a distance. You know, you feel the rumble and you hear it, and then it's sort of
like, so exciting.
It is. Although I got to tell you one thing.
What's up?
It's not exciting if you're like an ISIS member or something. I mean, can you imagine those things coming at you?
Or
I'm just so
from
glad.
Out of town and you're having a meeting in a high rise and you see things flying. Oh,
you're
wait
a terrorist
minute.
In the Middle East.
It's Thursday.
You hear
What's
that
happening?
Roar? You're like, yeah, we had a good run.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's
so long, guys.
Yeah, you live in a certain part of the country. You're right. Or just the world. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have them this year, but the Army brings in the Apache helicopter sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing hovers, and with, you know, all the missiles and guns on the front of it, and you're like, okay. I give up to it just when I see it with my popcorn in my hands. I throw those in the sky. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And the A-10 Warthog, for a while they brought that in. That's that low assault plane that they used a lot in Iraq. And they do this demonstration where they shoot blanks with it.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my God, is it loud. It's like the sound of the guns. And you're like, all right. See, this is why. I mean, it's nice we have the air show here. And I'm assuming that eventually, you know, if the president gets really mad at me, I'll see that Apache, you know, in front of my bedroom window.
Oh, gosh.
But
the bright lights coming in.
Yeah, but but I'm telling you, we should do some of those air shows overseas. You know, just sort of let them know, hey, this is what we got.
We got stuff.
Yeah, just to let you know. All right.
A lot of talent.
Here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top 5 and 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. There we go.
Number 5.
That's a day where hundreds of newspapers, 360 to be exact, around the country have published editorials in defense of the press against attacks by the president. So, in the United States Senate today, they offered a mild but unanimous vote, show of support for the Fourth Estate. That would be the press.
Right.
It's a non-binding resolution, though, unfortunately, which affirms the press is not the enemy of the people. And here is Senator Brian Schatz from Hawaii introducing the legislation.
This resolution also condemns attacks on the institution of the free press and views efforts to systematically undermine the credibility of the press as a whole as an attack on our democratic institutions. And so, Mr. President, as if in legislative session, I ask unanimous consent that the Senate proceed to the immediate consideration of S. Res. 607 submitted earlier today.
Clerk will report.
Senate Resolution 607, reaffirming the vital and indispensable role the free press serves.
Is there objection? Without objection?
It would be the one guy. There would
Me.
Be one guy.
Mm-hmm.
Press sucks, man.
There's got to be one. I mean, the Senate's a more august and distinguished body than the House. But you know, in the House, we go, I'm with him. Where the hell? Because, you know, they got, like in Mississippi, they got, like, Cousin Cooter's a congressman from Mississippi.
We're allowed to tell you right now, they're a bunch of communists.
The hell with the press.
The hell with them. I'm gonna tell you this right now. I'd rather eat a possum's keister hole than talk to a member of the press.
How do you cook that up? Normally?
Oh my gosh!
You can fry that up,
boil it for 48 hours.
We got to do that first. Otherwise, you're gonna get the squirts.
I think this whole
thank you, Congressman.
Yeah,
sit down.
I know. I'm glad.
Enough, Congressman.
Whoa,
cut his mic.
And the press sucks.
Press sucks.
That's all I have to say today.
I think this is a more meaningful day for the small town journalists and the working journalists. Not the big celebrity journalists, but the ones who are working journalists in every town across America at radio stations, television stations, newspapers, who are really just trying to bring you the news and uncover corruption and try to make people's enhance people's lives and cover the things that matter to you. And I think that maybe on the cable news stations, we're seeing this blurring of content with opinion, news content with opinion, and certain stations are obviously aligned with along ideological lines. And it makes people sort of distrust, like, oh, you're just, that's the media. They're just pushing an agenda when that's not
the
overwhelming majority of
journalists. The problem is, too, sometimes it feels like the media got personal or the news got personal. Like, it shouldn't be personal to anyone, to the president, to CNN, to Fox.
Well, it's gotten, because there's name calling. That's
right.
That's so what makes it personal. And the whole idea of fake news, there is actual fake news. Most of it exists on the internet. There are stories that are totally made up. And then there's some things that the press reports on where the sources were wrong or they are improperly sourced stories that turn out not to be accurate. That's a far smaller eventuality. That's a far smaller incident than, you know, people just making stuff up on the internet. And then every once in a while, the White House press secretary will come out or press, you know, whoever's at the podium will come out and say something that is patently false.
Well, and that's why, thank God we have the press, right, to be able to fact check that and explain to people what the background is and why this is true and that's not true. I mean, that's...
I mean, people lie all the time in business and in government because they don't want to be caught doing something bad, right? Or they want to press their position because they think it makes them more electable. Well, that is the job of a free and open press, to try to call the truth out. And as you've seen, the truth generally has not been on the side of the administration. When they make a statement, they are more often called out for not being accurate about something than previous administrations have been.
Right.
Because it turns out because they are less accurate than the Obama administration, than the Bush administration, than the Clinton administration, believe it or not. If you just look at the raw numbers of things, they've got a really bad track record, and the president is acting like the guiltiest dude ever. Right. He is swinging at everybody who says anything bad about him, because that's what people who have a lot of stress in their mind do. And that's what I'm seeing here.
I just think on a local level, think of all the journalists over time who have uncovered scandals and taxpayer scams and all kinds of things that would not have been detected had there not been actively working journalists with passion and in situations that our newsrooms are getting consolidated and cut and cut and cut, and they're wearing multiple hats and they're still doing that type of work. Right.
Press sucks.
You know what? I'm with you. Make America great again. And be sure, be absolutely sure that if you're going to eat the possum keister whole, that you do boil it for 40 hours advance. Good eating, though. Good eating.
Yeah, saute it up with some onions.
Because you don't want it scorched.
Number four.
After several hours of hype from MSNBC, Omarosa finally made an appearance to further clarify her position on her tapes. And she even dropped a tape of Laura Trump in the middle of all of this.
She did.
Yeah, where she talked about getting Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of the president, offering $15,000 a month for Omarosa to be nice.
So I know you were making 179 at the White House, and I think we could work something out where we keep you right along those lines. Specifically, let me see, I haven't even added up the numbers, but we were talking about like $15K a month. Let me see what that adds up to. 12. Yeah, so that's 180,000. Does that sound like a fair deal for you?
Sound like a fair deal for you? I guess it was exactly the salary she was making as part of the White House.
Yeah.
So it was a nice landing pad for someone.
And then Omarosa says, oh, it's time for the administration to admit what they have done.
The president has said he's happy. I was fired. I'm a lowlife. I'm a dog. All these things. But then you find out behind the scenes, they're saying how awesome I am and great I am and I should come on the campaign. So really, what is it? Which one of it is it? Is it that they supported me or did they want me out? He said he was happy I was fired. At first he said he didn't know I was fired. And then he tweets that he was happy that I was dismissed. This family can't keep their story straight. They can't decide whether they love or hate people. They actually misrepresent that they're being honest to the American people. This is just the beginning of the type of corruption that's going on in Trump world, and I am here to blow the whistle.
Mm-hmm. Is she an idiot? Yeah, I mean, she gets it. She was all part of the initial, overwhelm. Remember when she said people will bow down to the president because he will be all powerful and all of that? She was part of that whole thing.
If you had forgotten about that, the president this afternoon has tweeted out a video that the White House prepared about all the words, the kind words that Omarosa said about the president supporting him. Yeah. Guess she forgot about those tapes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or the GOP. Okay.
And the fact that we have to worry about this, and the fact that the president's even reacting to it, the White House is reacting to it, and her book is not selling, and she would just go away. Except that she's got these tapes. That's the only problem that we have here. She's got these tapes, and they don't know.
Don't you want to hear the tapes?
They're not sure how many more tapes she has. That's an issue. We'll get to your three, your two, and your one. But first, we've got to check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The Manafort jury back at it tomorrow.
Oh, boy. They sent out a question, though.
Four questions.
Yeah.
Including redefine reasonable doubt.
Yeah. See, that, if you're Paul Manafort, you're like, where happened martinis?
In solitary confinement?
His lawyer's very optimistic.
Yeah, I would say so. When they come out, what do you mean by reasonable doubt?
Have you people ever had possum?
Oh.
You know, there's some, there's somebody on that. You got to hold out right now on this.
You think so?
Yeah. Yep.
I might hold out on the possum.
No, I'm telling you, it's good eating.
Throw some garlic and onions in a pan. Oh,
garlic in my gas. All right, you're 3, 2, and 1, but first, Violetta, what's coming up in the WGN traffic? How bad is it out there?
What began as a backyard biology lesson metamorphosized into a lifelong passion. Meet Dan the Butterfly Man, a king among monarchs, tonight at 9 on WGN TV.
Wow.
Quite the tease.
That is quite a little punny, but you know.
Yeah, hey, sometimes that works.
How about we got a guy who likes butterflies tonight at 9? Okay, yeah. I'm
all
in.
Right.
Number 3.
Madonna is 60 today.
How about that?
She's still a virgin? She's still like a virgin?
I don't know about
that. She has kids.
Oh, that's right. That's her Rocco. She's got Rocco. And
congrats on the sex, Madonna.
Oh, God. Unfortunately, we had to see some of it, throughout the years.
We did.
And for,
it's
you know,
graphic.
It's sort of like, and you don't want to see grandma doing that. You know what I mean? I don't feel the same way about it.
Plus, the song is Like a Virgin, not I'm a Virgin.
Yeah, that's true. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification. Her first appearance was on American Bandstand in 1984. She told Dick Clark what her goal was.
We are a couple of weeks into the new year. What do you hope will happen, not only in 1984, but for the rest of your professional life? What are your dreams? What's left?
To rule the world.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Madonna.
Pretty close.
Pretty close. 800 million net worth. She still gets nearly 2 million views per day of her videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I never really got it.
Well, she's kind of like Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga. She was recreating herself and she's kind of shocking people and... I
can't believe we're having to explain Madonna.
I know.
No, I get it.
You didn't like her. You weren't a fan?
Like the crawling around on the floor in the prom dress? You didn't like that? Wasn't that what she was doing for the like a virgin thing? Or how about when she kissed the icon? The icon comes off the pedestal and then she...
Didn't she make out with a girl like at an award ceremony?
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That girl.
So,
Britney Spirit, as your dad would call him.
Remember the time when Britney Spears and Madonna make out? All right, here we go.
Number 2.
First trailer for Tom Arnold's new Viceland show, The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. See, Tom Arnold also thinks that there is a tape of Donald Trump saying the N-word from The Apprentice, and he is on the lookout for it. And I kind of think that this is like an apocryphal thing. It's like the Yeti of the 21st century to find this thing. Because I can't imagine, even if it happened, I cannot imagine that tape still exists.
Yeah, I can't either. And Mark Burnett has it, I mean, he knows he has it, and he hasn't given it up yet.
Yeah, so I don't know what happens there, but apparently this show's pretty wild.
I've known Donald Trump for 30 years. He's the same kind of old school dumbass that I am.
You're clearly mentally ill.
But I don't think a guy like me should be president.
Things said in the room made me sick to my stomach.
We gotta get this out there.
Can I ask you one question? I'm going to dig as deep as I have to expose the ugly truth about the ugly man.
This is real life, and it's terrifying.
Have you found the tapes?
Well, you're really into tapes.
Yes.
Oh, God. Again, this is
why?
Happening. The guy whose finger's on the button, right, is... Tom Arnold is trying to take him down. I mean, this is not right.
Wasn't he teaming up with Michael Cohen for a while, and then that went sour?
I don't know. They're together.
Maybe they're still together.
I don't know. Who knows?
Not sure who's on whose team anymore. Omarosa, we know where that went.
Yeah. It'll all fall apart eventually. But will it take us with it? That's the question.
That's a good question.
We might all be eating possum with Cousin Cooter.
Oh.
Or as he's now known on the show, Congressman Cooter.
Number 1.
Aretha Franklin, Queen of Soul, has died. In a statement, Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan
said, while she may have passed, Aretha will always have the key to our hearts. In 1980, Franklin's career was revitalized by an appearance in the hit movie Blues Brothers, in which she sang Think.
Ma'am, would it make you feel any better if you knew that what we're asking Matt here to do is a holy thing?
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Don't you blaspheme in here! Don't you blaspheme in here! Now, this is my man, this is my restaurant, and you two are going to just walk right out that door without your dry white toast, without your faux fried chickens, and without Mad Guitar Murphy.
Now, you listen to me. I love you, but I'm the man and you're the woman, and I'll make the decision concerning my life.
You better think about what you're saying. You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Oh, shut up, woman.
You better think.
John Landis, who directed that film, said that he insisted that they get Aretha Franklin for it.
Oh,
she was perfect for that.
Absolutely.
And the studio was like, because he was also asking for, you know, real performers. He wanted Ray Charles, James Brown, John Lee Hooker, Cab Calloway. They were all in the movie. And of course, the studio executives were like, baby, darling, sweetheart, honey, they're very expensive.
Talking about rhythm. And when Danny and John and I proposed these performers to be in the movie, the studio thought, well, don't you want people younger and hipper, maybe white? You know, they really were kind of taken aback. And also, this is old music, they kept saying, you know, don't you want disco? How about Donna Summer? How about LaFreak or something? They're black. And we're going, no, we're talking about rhythm and blues.
That's amazing, isn't it? It just tells you, even in 1980, that was still the thought.
Does,
you know, it's crazy because these were the originators, were they not? In 2014, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, she was asked about today's divas.
When I say the name Adele, what comes to mind?
Mm-hmm. Young singer, good singer.
Alicia Keys.
Young performer, good writer, producer.
Taylor Swift.
Okay, great gowns, beautiful gowns.
Whitney Houston.
Whitney was a talent. Mm. Definitely a talent. She had a gift. Mm. And Sissy's Baby.
And let's sort of change genres a little bit. Nicki Minaj.
Now I'm going to pass on that one.
Oh! Wasn't taking that one.
She is the original diva. And we talked to Howard Kramer, who is the former curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland. And he has amazing insights. He knew her family. Mm. Amazing insights into her life, and you'll be hearing that tonight at 6:40 right here, along with some of the music of her life as well, which is a life incredibly well lived, and she entertained billions of people,
generations.
Yeah. Aretha Franklin was 76.
The top five at five.
Season right around the corner. A countdown is on. Single game tickets for Chicago Blackhawks regular season home games go on sale Monday, August 20th at 10 a.m. Team's regular season home opener is scheduled for Sunday, October 7th versus the Maple Leafs. Get your tickets starting Monday at 10 a.m. ChicagoBlackhawks.com. That's ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Right now, you can still get tickets for that preseason, too.
Nice.
There's some single games available there. That's ChicagoBlackhawks.com for that as well.
Very cool. Right around the corner.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Very much looking forward to it. There's a lot.
Lots to look forward to.
Yes. It's going to be exciting. It's actually going to be, I think, an exciting fall in Chicago sports-wise. You got the Cubs, although what is interesting is, you know, got like the St. Louis Cardinals are like flying out of nowhere here behind them.
That isn't good.
It's going to be September to remember here in baseball because you got the Cubs playing well and probably going to make the playoffs, I would assume, Kevin, right? That's going to be good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they seem to, there's a little kind of destiny feel to them this year.
Well, all things considered, they haven't had Darvish or Chris Bryant for most of the year, and they have the best record in the National League. So.
Right.
I don't even think they've played their best ball yet.
Right. I just want to make sure that they do. They continue to. And on the South side, it's going to be fun because I think you're going to see some of those kids come up in September. So we'll
and then football. Northwestern schedule looks great, and
go
Bears
Cats.
Will be Bears and drive us
I
all
think
crazy.
The Bears, now this is funny because Anna just said
I
to
just
me,
asked.
Just in the quiet of the microphones off button,
mm-hmm.
She said to me, "Do you think this Trubisky is for real?"
I did. I said, "I just hope. I hope he is."
But... Yeah, and I'm and because we're listening to your sports, Kev, because that's what yeah. we do every afternoon.
Of
we listen to you. We're so proud of you, Kevin.
Riveted on yeah. your every word. So nicely
right.
done.
Right,
good
right,
job.
Right, yeah.
So I got this.
Excellent.
I got this feeling, and I'm like, I think he is. I think he's going to be a Tony Romo-esque player. I don't know that he's going to be Tom Brady, but I think he's going to be that kind of a guy because I think he's got all the skills.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we drafted him number two
yeah,
by trading
he,
up from number three.
He better be good, considering what they gave up for
yeah.
him.
yeah, they moved up one position and gave away basically an entire draft. But
but that's what you do when you have
I think he's the real deal. And they did a whole lot this offseason to give him some weapons to work with because they had no personnel on the offensive side of things last year. Now he's got some receivers, he's got some tight ends, he got the running back. So we'll see. New offense.
They are going to be a, you're not quite sure what you got there.
Right.
So you got it.
But that's why it's exciting. Because
yeah.
if it all comes together, boy, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got, the new look Bulls. Sort of the new, half new look Bulls. It's at least you got a team where they're not trying to kill each other
yeah.
in practice.
No one's intentionally
so,
taking each other out.
Yeah, we got that. And then the Blackhawks, which I have some feelings about because you know we were there a couple weeks ago at the convention. Was that a week ago or 2 weeks ago?
A couple weeks ago.
Now.
Mm-hmm. There's certainly an intensity to those. To the players that we talked to.
Oh, yeah. You could feel it.
You could tell they're not happy how last season ended
no.
at all.
No.
Or how the entire season went, really.
No. Mm-mm.
It's like, I was worried to bring it up to them. So, about last year.
I know, right? It's like the elephant in the room.
What about last year, boy?
Dancing around it. So, that's not what we all wanted, right? You know.
They'll be on a mission this year.
I would think so. I hope they are. Hope they
watch
will.
Out.
Did you see this story? I guess we missed it last week when it was hotter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a story about the smells of Chicago.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's true.
Yes, that it actually kind of affects a little bit of the tourism. Because there's certain parts of Chicago that smell worse than others. And people are afraid that the foul air will make you sick.
You mean how it used to smell by the river?
There's a very specific scent in the summertime.
Mm-hmm. There
and
is.
I just found a very bad new smell that I never knew about before.
In where?
In the downtown area, the new buildings that have those fake grass pads for their dogs.
Oh.
It heats up, I guess, in the summer, and they don't clean. It's not real grass. It's
yeah.
Oh.
You got it.
It's turf. Isn't it like fake turf?
Yeah.
You have to hold your breath for like a block if you're passing one. And you're like, did a dog just go? What is this? And I found out it's the turf.
Is it one of those pads that's like on the ground level?
Yeah. It's just, you know, they do like a fake patio, like a mm-hmm. dog park for the dogs, but it's not. It's just a pad of grass.
I can see one right across the river from us right now, next to the hotel. And they all take their dogs down there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That looks like a little mini golf.
It's like a little, exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're supposed to still pick up the number twos.
No,
even...
it's not number two. It's number one because it just sits there. It doesn't
lingering.
Have anywhere to go.
Mm.
And you're supposed to like hose that down.
So maybe on like Monday morning it smells fine, but today...
Some guy's job is to do that. He's like, forget this.
Because dogs only go pee Monday through Friday. I think that's what we just learned.
No, I'm saying they only wash it once a week, probably.
Yeah. Monday morning.
Yeah.
Hell, get out there and do that, would you?
Oh, no.
Clean the bad day. God, you know how bad that stinks? Oh, God.
And the dogs get excited being out there.
Oh, they love
oh,
it.
Yeah. It's terrible. They stick their nose right into all of it.
Dogs 3 miles away are excited about it. They're like, hey, where is that? Wow.
What a smell.
I love her.
Let's go there.
That is a very good point. Now, the river still has, downtown, the river smells a lot better than it used to.
Yeah, especially sort of that one portion that's so active now. It's really been cleaned up.
Yeah.
And then the eastern portion, I know they have plans, the ones kind of by us all the way to the lake. That is, their plans now to make that even nicer and nicer.
Right.
Build
but
up.
That, the water there is clean. The water on the east end mm-hmm. of the river, where you know it forks off and then it
right.
as it moves from Wacker Drive, essentially, you know, at the split. It, as it moves east, it gets more and more clean because the water, because when they open the locks, it floods into the lake.
That certain portion, you know, where it's still a smell.
Yes. But you get out, you know, you get out there on the turn. The, where it really hits you is on the North Branch. You get up like, about a 3/4 mile, mile up. You know, still around, like, let's just say
by like Gordon Tech.
No, not that far. You can get right to the river, right around like Armitage, where they're going to do this brand new, beautiful, like, you know,
Lincoln Yards,
where the steel mill used to be. And it's ooh, Lord.
Yeah, I've kayaked a lot in the river the last few summers, and I could say it's getting much better, much better.
Well, if we're talking about Armitage, what about Ashland and Armitage?
Yes.
That leather factory?
Yes.
Everyone knows around there. And then if you go a little bit further, Ashland and Webster, I don't know, is there still the garbage dump over there underneath the bridge?
There is. I think there's a
or is that the Salvation Army now?
Oh, my God.
No. I just really mean I think they built over it, but I'm not sure.
Because, I mean, they're like doing God's work.
No, they are. I just, it's ironic if they did build over the dump, but...
Oh God!
I don't think there's one on Ashland. You talking about Ashland?
Yeah.
Anyway, the point is, let's get away from this.
Clybourne, there's one.
The point is,
Clybourne and Ashland. Yeah,
that there is there's garbage dumps, and then, but you know, to me, I'm sorry, I don't care what Chicago smells like. There are two areas of the Chicago metropolitan area that are just not to be believed. There's an area on 57. That if you keep your windows open and you drive through, it's like a body died in your car. Because depending on what the other air conditions are, in the you know, the wind and all of that and the humidity, but there's an area by Hodgkins, which, by the way, they should change the name.
I know,
right? It's like
it doesn't work,
right? It's like, oh, where are you from? From Cancer, Illinois?
I know.
You know, no. Well, it was a family name, you know, so we had to keep it. I mean, just Cancer with a K. You know, I mean, it's like the same thing. Come on, Hodgkins. Let's come up with something else. And then, of course, Indiana. You know, when you're
nothing compares.
Skyway. You pay $5.60 or whatever it is to literally have to take a shower after you get out of your car.
We always have the conversation that someone thinks someone passed gas. I'm like, come on, guys, let's get familiar with where we're driving through. I mean, it's terrible.
But it starts like burning the back of your throat sometimes.
Right, even with the windows up.
Roll up the windows.
Yeah. It's not pretty.
No.
It's just not pretty.
But it's worth it to drive to New Buffalo.
And then you want...
To the promised land. We just got to make it through the stretch.
Please, I just got to make it.
But what about the people who don't live in New Buffalo who live there?
Yeah, that's a problem.
How's that going for them?
I don't know how they deal.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah. I haven't seen out of my left eye in about 30 years. Just kind of turned over yellow and green, and I just never quite see again. It's really, you got. I mean, that is hardy folk down there, man. Yeah. I don't care. I mean, it's like they are working hard. Yeah, yeah. If you just get low enough, you can't smell it. So I crawl to work every day.
Passes right over you.
Yeah. Oh God, it is. It's like it's like the Ten Commandments down there. I mean, you're just waiting for it. Like there's like some sort of a smoky thing, and then there's people screaming, and it's not good. All right.
Unsettling.
Can we check in with Judy? What's coming up at the top of the hour news?
New video release in a Chicago police shooting.
Violetta? Ha! We could be in Denver. Ha! For joint practice.
Well, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good.
Yeah.
They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home.
See what I'm doing here? I'm setting up Sweet Lou in Denver.
Yeah.
If you're really stoned, this seems funny. But if you're not stoned, it makes no sense. All right. Sweet Lou Canellas is joining us from the mile high city of Denver, Colorado.
Well said.
Thank you. And the Bears and the Broncos have been involved in joint practices this whole week.
Oh, man.
Oh. Yeah.
And they're going to play tomorrow night. They're going to play Saturday night it's like at 8 o'clock Chicago time, right? Mm-hmm. On your Fox 32?
Yes, sir. 7 o'clock on your Fox 32. That's when our coverage starts.
Okay. That's the most important thing. And I don't know. Are we going to see the starters?
We're going to see the starters, my guess is, for at least a quarter.
Wow.
Yeah, they need to be out there. You know, a few of them didn't play against the Bengals last week, especially on offense. You know, everyone's talking about where is the offense going, how does Trubisky look, and, you know, they looked awful, I thought, in that Bengals game.
Because it
was awful. I mean, what, 8 plays, they netted -1 yard, but he didn't have Jordan Howard, he had Tariq Cohen for one snap, he didn't have Allen Robinson, he didn't have Taylor Gabriel, so when you don't have your guys alongside, how are you going to do anything against Cincinnati's starters? Cincinnati had its starting defense out there, by the way, had a pretty good season last year, so I'm not counting last week. This week is when it all counts against the Broncos.
Lou, one of the stars of training camp so far has been rookie receiver Anthony Miller, and I saw him. I went down to Bourbon a handful of times this year, and you know, he stood out to me, not necessarily how great he looked, although he looked good, but how many different ways the Bears were utilizing him. They even handed the ball to him on an end around. He was running deep routes, intermediate routes, things like that. So he's sort of been the guy everybody's talking about. What have you seen from him, and what's a reasonable expectations for him in his rookie year?
Oh, they were talking about him today, that's for sure, because, you know, yesterday there were no skirmishes, no fights between the Bears and Broncos. Not the case today. Anthony Miller, that small wide receiver you're talking about, Kevin, came out swinging in a special teams drill. But, you know, on the football field when it comes to catching passes, this guy was the star of Camp Urbanet. He ran a wrong route. He made a mistake, a bad mistake near the end zone in that Bengals game, and got an ear-chewing from Chase Daniels, who's been around a while. So this is a guy I think that's really important to the Bears' offense, and you're going to see plenty of Anthony Miller.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, how big is he?
He's not big. I want to say he's like 5'11".
Well, the comp we always hear is Steve Smith, right? He had a pretty good year. He was feisty on the field, and he's only 5'10", 5'11". That's a guy I've heard scouts and things like that kind of compare him to.
I like these little guys, though, because little guys can get underneath the tackle.
Yeah.
You know? It's kind of what we're kind of, at least in my dreams, that's what happens out there. Tariq Cohen, we have not called his number a lot this summer yet as we're getting ready for the season. He's healthy, right?
He's healthy. He even said something today. He's like, I got to get out there, man. Yeah. I mean, he wants to get out there in game action, especially on Saturday. As I said, he only played one snap against the Bengals, didn't play in the first game against the Ravens. So my guess is you'll see plenty of him. And when you talk about, all right, let's talk about Miller, Tariq Cohen, and Taylor Gabriel, who's the free agent wide receiver they signed who came from the Atlanta Falcons. All three of those guys, especially Cohen and Gabriel, they have unbelievable speed. And you put those three guys on the football field at the same time, along with Allen Robinson and Trey Burton, the tight end, and you all of a sudden create all kinds of mismatches for the opposing defense. Because when you've got two speedsters on the field, all right, you don't have enough defensive backs to cover Robinson and then two guys like Cohen and Gabriel. So I think that, you know, given the opportunity to run his offense, and Trubisky here in Denver the last couple of days, guys, he threw 2 touchdown passes, no interceptions, great work against a Broncos defense that last year with Von Miller, all right, was number 3 in the NFL. Today, Matt Nagy said that he thought Trubisky didn't have one bad day and one good day. He thought he had 2 really good days. And even John Elway spoke following today's practice. And listen, Elway's a Hall of Famer. And when you look back at his career and you think about the way he played, in Elway's first season, let me remind you guys, because I know I was one guy who forgot about the horrible start that Elway got off to. In his first season as a starter, as a rookie in 1983, he completed less than 50% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. His second season, he went 12-2. I'm not saying that Trubisky is a second coming of John Elway, but you got to remember this kid
played
as a rookie last year with Josh Bellamy as his go-to guy.
Yeah. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we got
John
Elway.
The Super Bowl.
That's what we got
for next
now.
Year. How about Roquan Smith? Is he going to be playing on Saturday, Lou Kanellis?
Good question, Anna. Here, this is Lou Kanellis because Matt Nagy wouldn't. He kept it close to the vest. He wouldn't tell us. He said, "I'm going to discuss it with my coaches. We'll talk about it tonight. We'll talk about it Friday night, and we'll let them know Friday night." My guess is they get him out there a little bit. A little risky, even though he said that he kept himself in shape at the University of Georgia. Still a little risky. He's only had, two practices under his belt here in the altitude of Denver, the Colorado area. But you need to get him out there. I would hate if you went into that opener against the Packers with Roquan Smith playing only two quarters next week against the Chiefs, because he's not going to play in that last game
against
the Bills.
Yeah, you and I are playing in that game.
Yeah, you got to get him some time.
Lou, I know Matt Nagy, of course, the head coach, is always going to say this, that you got to earn the starting spot and things like that. There's real no competition between Roquan and Kwiatkowski, is there?
The company line is, hey, you got to win the job.
Right.
All right, he better win the job. All right, he's the eighth pick in the draft. You're paying him big money. He sat out 29 days. He's back at work. By the way, his agents from CAA were at practice today.
Oh.
If he stays healthy,
baby
darling,
Bubby, I love what you're doing out there. It's very good. I like it when you're wearing the, when you turn to the right and you turn to the left. I like it, and then in the spandex, you've got the glutes look great. I love it.
Keep working out.
Let's get an Instagram selfie.
Yeah. Okay.
So why are they there?
Yeah, why are they there?
I think the guy that was there is a guy named Todd France, who's one of his agents from CAA, and I saw him talking to GM Ryan Pace, and they had a little kumbaya and a hug, and I'm sure that they kissed and made up after what had gone on for 29 days.
So let's tell you, this is kind of an interesting story inside a story here, because Todd France has been an agent for a long time, but CAA, which was the big Hollywood agency, has recently either acquired Todd's company or however this has happened, they're now rebranding as as the sports arm of CAA, and so they're being very aggressive with these players because they want to keep them as big multi-platform entertainers. They're going to be, they want Roquan to play football, but they also want him to get endorsements and do all those things like the big guys get. But they try to build this stuff in early because they don't know how long these careers are going to be. Usually it would take a guy 4 or 5 years before he'd get an endorsement,
right?
But now it's like they want to hit the ground running.
Well, you nailed it. You nailed it, Rowan. You know who really started this division for CAA was former Bear Trace Armstrong. Remember Trace?
Yeah, so
Trace started this arm for CAA and getting involved in professional athletes. You're right. They bought Todd France's company from Todd was in Atlanta. And here, in the Bears' case, they saw an opportunity with their client to take advantage of an organization. And let's be honest here, that's 14-34 in Ryan Pace's three seasons. They have a new coach. All right. They knew that this franchise, because it's got a fan base starving for success right now.
Anything.
So they knew that if they were going to take advantage and muscle any team out there, this was the team that they could do it against. Seven straight seasons without a playoff berth. The fans are starving for a winner. And now you keep the number one pick from a top 10 defense. All right, 10 starters returning from last year's top 10 defense. And the guy you're adding, all right, is supposed to be a stud, probably the best defensive player in the draft, and you hold them out, and they thought that they'd really push over the Bears and force the Bears into a position where they'd give them whatever they wanted language-wise in that contract, and the Bears didn't budge. I'm being told from my contacts that Roquan Smith was the guy that went back to his representatives and said, when he heard Nagy say to the media the other day, hey, yeah, you're right. If he doesn't get in camp in the next day or two, he's probably not going to play against the Packers. That's when Smith said, hey, I need to be playing.
Yeah.
And they worked this out.
I'm glad they did.
Glad they did.
Yeah. All right. Okay, who's getting stoned out in Denver? I just want to know names. I want players and local media names. What do you got?
I see. see nothing, I say nothing. It's legal out here right
now. I know.
Nagy told his players.
What?
Nagy told his players, listen, I know it's legal in Colorado, but guess what? It's not legal when you work in the NFL.
Just a reminder.
Yeah.
So strict.
Hey. Oh, my God. What a buzz hassle. All right. Well,
no one's ever heard of that.
All right. Well, I just want to say that I'm officially excited. Every time I talk to Lou, I believe something I didn't believe the day before.
Me too.
And then about 5 minutes afterwards, Lou is like human Chinese food. About 5 minutes afterwards, I immediately stop and I go, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. But I'm so satisfied when I'm actually listening to him.
Come on, man. I'm Peter Positive.
You are. We love that about you, Lou. Don't change that.
Yeah, that's true.
Enjoy Denver, Lou.
Hey, how's the new restaurant, though? What's going on?
Yeah.
Pretty soon, at the right before Chicago Gourmet, we'll have a chance to talk about it.
All right, okay. Oh, it's a big secret. It's always a big secret in this town.
Yeah, well, you got to do it right the right way, you know?
He's acting like he's the first Greek guy to open a restaurant in Chicago. I'm sorry, I can't talk about it.
Because he's a Greek guy that you know it's going to be good.
It's going to be really good if you like Greek food.
Yeah. Oh, see? Well, then I'm all over it.
And you live in Lincoln Park. It'll be close and convenient.
And it's not going to be like the flaming cheese and stuff. You're doing like really... Oh. Great.
Come on, Annie. You know that Chicago. Well, we're the only place that does the flaming cheese.
I know
everywhere
it well.
Else they sell Saganaki in the world, they don't flame it.
No. True.
Right.
Love a good Saganaki.
I know, but it's flame, but it's fun. I was just in Greek town last night, and some people in from out of town, and it scared the crap out of you. You would have thought it was like, that's another thing we should be doing, for ISIS, in Iraq. Right. So, send the cheese on fire. They go, oh, no, now I give up. And it's like, it could be, because these guys, I think they're using, like, super ethyl now when they drop it on there, because it really goes high
for a lot of effect.
It's Canadian Reserve.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Little Bucharest does a big-time Saganaki.
Yeah.
It's like, don't get your hairspray.
That's Brackles.
All right. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, guys.
Goodbye. I don't know how we ended up like that, but we did. All right. A very special tribute to Aretha Franklin coming your way. But first, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Democrat Day at the Illinois State Fair, and there was some swining. That one was for you, Ron.
I got it. Thank you very much. Violetta?
Like bacon?
Former curator of the Museum of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, and he joins us this on the day of Aretha Franklin's death. What will she be most remembered for?
I think Aretha is going to be remembered singularly as one of the greatest singers ever. Full stop. She is the gold standard for gospel. She is the gold standard for soul. She is one of the great pop singers of all time. Her range and command knew no bounds. And anybody who wants to be a great singer will have to look at her first to say, how do I try to get there?
It's very rare to have somebody who can be completely on pitch in four octaves. And she was effortless at it.
Not really that. Her command as far as how to form a song, how to interpret a song, her improvisational command. She could take the basic technical part of being a four-octave singer, which is, again, nothing to sneeze at, but do more with it than anybody else.
More than just a singer, she was a cultural, political icon.
Oh, she's a face on Mount Rushmore. There's no question about it. Along with people like Louis Armstrong, who essentially popularized jazz, with Chuck Berry, who wrote the language for rock and roll. Aretha Franklin may not have been the the first solo artist, but no one did more with it than she did. And then when she decided to go beyond that, when she wanted to go back to her roots and do a gospel album. I mean, people tend to forget the best-selling gospel record of all time is an Aretha Franklin album.
Mary, go to me. Mary, go to me. Tell Martha not to move. She literally grew up in a church. Her father was a pastor.
Yeah, Reverend C.L. Franklin. She was born to him in Memphis, and they moved around a bit, as you know, some preachers have a tendency to be somewhat peripatetic. Lived in Memphis and Buffalo, and eventually settled in Detroit. Her parents divorced when she was very young. Mother stayed in Buffalo when the family moved to Detroit, and her mother subsequently died not all that long afterwards. Her father was a very charismatic guy who attracted a lot of female attention, and actually for many, many years had an intimate relationship with Clara Ward, the gospel singer. But Aretha, because of her father's stature as a significant figure in African-American culture, particularly in the church, was, you know, her house was the salon for the greatest artists of that era. I mean, Sam Cooke was a family friend, Mahalia Jackson, Dinah Washington. They all came to the Franklin home in Detroit, or even in some cases attended her father's church. You're no good,
heartbreaker. It's interesting because so much of her early work is informed by being cheated on or being unable to maintain the attention of a man. When you hear it in the frame of that story, it appears to be related.
The one great thing about Aretha as an artist is her ability to transform a song from what was seemingly victimhood to victory, to self-determination, and, you know, I don't want to sound cliche, but respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. She first and foremost had that ability. Her personal life was fraught with a lot of dark times, whether it be she was, you know, a teen mother. She was married several times. Her father died under very mysterious circumstances, or at least he was injured and subsequently was hospitalized. I mean, her father was shot in a robbery, and he was incapacitated for many years, and she helped nurse him during those times until he passed. You know, she had a rough go on the personal side.
Obviously, she's an iconic African-American figure, but she's also an iconic feminist figure, would you say?
Yeah, I don't think that you can categorize someone of that stature. Was Barack Obama merely a political figure? No, he's a cultural figure, as well as Aretha Franklin is a cultural figure that transcends individual demarcations of what you want to talk about with culture, whether as a feminist or as a performer or as a member of an ethnic group. And her contributions are formidable, no matter what. You make me feel like an
angel. Over the years, her reputation descended into diva. And some people take diva as a negative. They're hard to work with. But others look at diva as great artists because they're perfectionists. They want to make sure everybody is doing their job exactly right, whether it's the band, the lighting guy, whether the temperature in the room is right. And despite all that, she seemed to embrace the notion that she was a diva.
I agree. People like that tend to become that individual. Was she a diva? No question. Did she earn it? You bet she did, more so than anybody else. Why? Because she was the best at what she did. She was also, again, an artist of exceptional talent. She wasn't just a singer who would go in there and sing songs that someone else told her to sing. I mean, that's one of the things that she did, particularly in the late 60s or mid to late 60s, was broke the mold of, quote, girl singers. She was nobody's, you know, puppet. She was her own woman. Moving forward, though, she was her own musical director. She was her own conductor in a lot of ways. She told the band what to play, and they played it exactly how that she wanted them to play it. And she could do that because she also knew better than anybody else. Her ear was faultless.
One of the great legendary stories about Aretha Franklin, maybe not that well known, is she hated to fly. She would only tour by bus throughout North America. So she was from Detroit. She stayed in Detroit, and that made her an iconic figure in the Midwest.
Detroit was her home. It was where her sisters and brother lived. She's actually now the last of the four children to pass. But because of that, that home base, where the family is, became essential to her. Long and winding road, all that leads. You know, I grew up in Detroit. She wasn't a person who'd go out a lot. You never really heard reports of, oh, Aretha was at this particular restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
She was a real homebody. I became friendly with one of her sons. We're about the same age. We grew up not very far from one another. And, you know, he was about as normal a guy as you could get. Just his mother happened to be a major American cultural figure, which is kind of got to be weird, don't you think? but you know, it made it easy for her, you know, being in Detroit to get to cities like Chicago, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis. And Chicago, of course, played a very big part in her development as a cultural figure, in that Reverend Jackson being there, the churches of the South Side, Mahalia Jackson, her home church was there. These were very meaningful things for her as well. And in fact, her earliest records, which came out on an indie label in Detroit, were then released for wider release by Chess and Checker, the great Chicago labels.
People of a certain age, when I say a certain age, I mean my age, who grew up in the 70s and 80s, remember her from that music in the 60s and that great kind of Detroit sound, the Motown sound. But then she reemerged in the middle of the video era, standing next to George Michael.
You got to give credit to Clive Davis, who understood that you could reposition this great talent with different songwriters and a slightly different production and make her relevant. And under the direction of Luther Vandross, who was not, you know, merely her producer, but a student of hers and one of the great singers of all time, and Narada Michael Walden, they made amazing records and rebuilt her. And to get to those duets, I think I Knew You Were Waiting For Me, her duet with George Michael, is his finest record ever and one of her best records. Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves with Annie Lennox. I mean, Annie had to go to Detroit to cut that with Aretha because Aretha wasn't going to England to cut it with her. And they merely not made just simply great record, but a record that's endured as a statement. Those are tall orders to do, particularly late in your career.
Howard, as you know, sometimes it's hard to explain things to millennials. So let me put it to you this way. Aretha Franklin was a great icon of the 60s, 70s, 80s, a legend still to the day that she died. Do you think there's any act that kids are seeing today that will stand that test of time?
There'll be contemporary artists who are seen as iconic figures, but not for the same reason. And we'll point to the obvious one, which would be Beyoncé, who is a supremely talented woman, supremely talented dancer. She's a great singer. She's a visual artist. She's very, very talented and clearly one of the most popular performers in the world. What she is doing for her generation within her time. But Aretha was, in her way, a once-in-a-lifetime artist who was a paradigm shifter. Beyoncé is a paradigm shifter. She's not the singer that Aretha is. Aretha's not the dancer that Beyoncé is. So maybe that is the connection. But the artistry, the pureness of Aretha Franklin's delivery is not something that's going to be easily replicated. If we're lucky, we'll get another one in our lifetime.
To that point, there is something so intimate about listening to a record by Aretha Franklin. It's the way she used all of her physicality, whether it was her lips or her tongue or her teeth, in almost every phrase. It felt like she was standing over your shoulder, singing into your ear. I've never heard that before or since.
And you're actually bringing up an interesting point, Ro, is that the records, particularly the early stuff on Atlantic and then the stuff that preceded on Columbia, were recorded live, fundamentally. Are there overdubs? Yeah, minimal. But it's not like today where records are assembled piece by piece by piece and then, you know, all put together. When you listen to Aretha sing, "I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You," that's her in a room with five or six other musicians playing the song, transcribing the moment as it happened. It could have been 30 takes to get to that one, but it's that one take of human energy. And she possesses that unique human energy to transform a song.
Howard Kramer, former curator of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, thank you so much. Let it be. Thanks, Howard Kramer, for helping us with that a little bit earlier today.
How fascinating. He actually knew her and her family, and very personal, I'm sure. It's interesting to hear his thoughts. I mean, she's the queen of soul, and it's funny, just as you listen to what Brian Altimer, our sonic genius, put together there, you remember how her music brings back you feel your own soul, right? And she said that she always wanted to bring to the surface all those feelings inside of you, that she wanted you to feel that passion, and it's... She's unmatched in that way. Right. Just listening to her music, you feel it. Gosh.
It's interesting. They're talking now about doing a biopic, and Jennifer Hudson appears to be the odds-on favorite to play her.
Perfect.
So, pretty interesting.
Fascinating that she also spent her life in Detroit. You know, I mean, here she is, the queen of soul, a self-described diva, and she didn't decide to move to a New York or a, you know, big
city. She didn't want to fly.
She didn't want to fly.
And her family was from there. I mean, just, you know, as he just pointed out, it was like, it was a crazy thing. And she would go to the, I heard it, did you see this interview earlier with one of her friends? That she would go to the Kroger three times a week in Detroit, and she would be, and there we get, and
imagine
and
that
people would come up to the front desk and go, there's Aretha Franklin's back in frozen foods.
I know.
And they were like, yeah, she's here all the time. Yeah.
And then didn't like do the restaurant scene or anything, but she gave back to Detroit, and it mattered to her. And I think it's just a big part of who she was.
Yeah.
Why she was loved.
Amazing, amazing, amazing artist, amazing icon. And, you know, Kennedy, honored by the Kennedy Center. Mm-hmm. All those kinds of things. That's just a moment that that you know you have. There's greatness. She made Barack Obama cry at that.
I know. You think of all the things she sang at the funeral for Rosa Parks, the dedication of Dr. King's memorial, Obama's inauguration. I mean, it's just such a meaningful part of music and history. But also, you appreciated it for who she was as a human. And I liked how in a lot of the interviews that people ran throughout the day in various news organizations, she always said, I want to be remembered as a great, amazing singer, but a wonderful singer, I think she said, but also a wonderful mother of four children. And as Howard pointed out there, started having kids at the age, she was 13 when she had her first baby, and she had two before she was 16. And, you know, not an easy life in terms of her relationships either. And that was important to her.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah. She makes grown men cry, though. I mean, that's,
isn't
you know,
that crazy?
She really does. Amazing. Aretha Franklin. All right. Domiti, what's happening in the WGN newsroom?
Well, the Vatican is responding to that scathing grand jury report about sex abuse.
Violetta?